Going to be back into our teaching today on submission and authority. We had a couple weeks we were off there, but as we go back into here, the last that we taught on the subject, we talked about dealing with children, about submission, and really, as you look, it is much easier as if children are raised in a way that they're taught submission than waiting till later in life to try to teach somebody these things. I always thank God for my parents who taught us things about submission and our responsibilities in life and toward others and things. And we were taught those things as young. It was very helpful. I know, as like I talked back a few weeks ago, when I was in the military, I saw that it was easier for me than it was sometimes for other people who hadn't been taught that, because we've been taught, you know, you listen to your authorities and all that stuff. And I watched people that just were always bucking the system all the time. And you were always getting in trouble. Always, you know, thinking, you know, I could do, well, you know, I have my rights. And I mean, today, man, that's the way it is. I mean, and people don't take in consideration. And, you know, even though as Christians we have rights and things, but we don't want to take our rights over the things to abuse other people or abuse other people's rights and things because of ours. And there was teaching these and learning these kind of things as children, and we found out the Bible talks specifically about raising a child and how to discipline a child, what we're supposed to do. And it is definitely far outside of what our culture does today. And even in the Christian world, in the church world, does not follow these principles of the Bible anymore. They are hooked to, I can take you to churches that are spirit-filled, and they will speak specifically opposite of what the Word God says about the rearing of children and things. And then, but you tell them, they'll say, oh yeah, we believe the Bible, and we teach the Bible. Yeah, they think, in their minds, they think they do. But they're teaching the American culture, which has led all kind of things into it. And they think that we're trying to make everybody as comfortable in life as we can, but I found out, you know, there's some things in life you will never learn without discomfort. That you'll never learn to persevere if you never had any discomfort. You'd never learn how to persevere. It would never happen. You know, that's why so many young people today have so much trouble, because they've never been taught to make their way in life. They've never been taught to persevere into things. So somebody's always doing something for them and taking care of things, and all of a sudden, man, they're going through all this thing of college. They've never worked a day in their life. And all of a sudden, you step out, and you got to do things, and you're responsible for something. And it is tough on them. You just keep living with mom and dad. You don't get out away from mom and dad. And, I know if Christians are ready in that stuff, and I've had Christians, and the one thing I ask Christians, if they come to me and they ask about being married, I always talk to them in this line. I always say in this line, I always say, now, where are you going to live? And they say, well, we're going to live with our parents for a while. I just tell them, I won't marry you. I said, can't do that. I said, the Bible says you're supposed to leave your father and mother. I said, the Bible says, you do that. You leave mom and dad. Don't say stay with mom and dad. I said, because this is the problem that always comes out of that. Because whoever they live with, whichever side of the family it is, that person who is directly related to that family is going to submit to their family and not to their partner. It always happens. Well, see, that's not the way the Bible says. See, you become now your own unit. You're no longer in submission. We can show respect for our family and our parents and stuff, but it's just like with our children. I've told my daughters now, when they want to marry now, your daddy is not your head anymore. It's your husband. He's your head. He's your head. I'm not. He's your head. Now, if you don't want him to be your head, then you should be married. That's right. This is where it goes. But you're now a family. You're a family, and authority's over here in yours. This is your authority now. It's not mine. I can't step over. I'm not God doesn't want me stepping over and using my authority over there to try to control their family. That's not what I'm supposed to do. And that's one of the reasons why he says they leave the father and mother, and it says, you know, you're supposed to do that kind of thing. And people don't do it. They still keep the connection all the time. And it definitely, and that connection they have through, if like living, always ends up submitting to the other person, to their family. And I've seen that in families and ministries where, you know, the wife or the husband is submitted to their parents and not to their mate. And so that, and you know what, always becomes a big problem. That always becomes a large problem. So you don't want to do that. And so we want to follow after what the Word says. You know, I believe the Bible is always for our best, is to do those things. Now we want to look, and when we deal with the areas of submission, is one of the things that I want to talk about. This is an area that with Rhema that Keith Moore talked specifically about, which I really thought was good, because there was things that I understood about myself, even as a sinner, why in areas, even as a sinner, can turn around and maybe do some things. I see, like, sometimes sinners that are more disciplined concerning their flesh and keeping things under than saints are. And it's understanding is, how do we do things? How can we do this? Is one thing is learning submission on the inside. You know, we've all heard that. You've heard it said, right? You know, the little boy's father told him to sit down or something and be quiet. And the little boy said, you know, I'm sitting down on the outside, but inside I'm standing up, you know, and that stuff. And so, in other words, there's not a submission that's on the inside. And see, this, you know, a person can do what somebody says, but the whole time, you know, they're rebelling. They're in rebellion all the time. That's why Jesus made this statement. And Jesus said, a man who in his heart lusts after a woman, he's already committed the sin. In other words, he may have not chased after her, but he wanted to inside. He wanted to have her. And so, and Jesus said, that in other words, that's a sin. On the inside, wanting to go after something, you might on the outside not want to do it, but your inside, it's a whole different thing for your flesh wanting to do something and your inner man. Sin deals not just the act of the outside, but out of the inside. See, and what you want to do, and this is why as we as Christians, people need to be born again. That's number one. People need to take on another nature. We need to get the right nature on the inside. Most Christians, what they're dealing with is their flesh, but they keep thinking they're dealing with their inner man. How many times have you heard somebody say, well, the old man just keeps trying to rise up? And what they're referring to is what their nature is on the inside. Well, that's not true. That's terrible Bible belief. Understand about yourself that you have been born again. You are a child of God. Understand about you got born again. You no longer have the nature of sin. That's not your nature. No, that's why your conscience bothers you about things it wouldn't have bothered you about you before. It's amazing. But that's because of inside, then inside nature change. So, but what we must do is we must continue in the Word of God. For us to be, really to bring, we got to bring our body and our mind under control. That's what we have to do, because the inner nature wants to do the right thing. But the only way we're going to be able to do it is if we bring our mind and our body under control. We learn out how to do it through the inner man. Now, most everything today tries to do everything. If you go out here, and we'll talk about this, diets and things, and why so much doesn't work for people. Why it doesn't work is because it's all on the outside, and it's continually trying to use the strength of the outer man to do what is really has to be done by the strength of the inner man. It's on the inside. The greatest strength that any believer has is his God nature on the inside of him. That's where the Holy Spirit is. The power of God is coming into contact with the inner man. It's not the outer man. It's coming in contact with the inner man. And so we want to talk about this is hugely helpful in these areas. We, in 1 Corinthians, I'm going to go and read some scriptures in 1 Corinthians 9th chapter. In 1 Corinthians 9th chapter, the Apostle Paul was talking about some things. And if we read the scriptures in before this, this is where people take the, where Paul said, he was all things to all men. And then people act like, well, you know, I'm gonna be what other people are, the sinners are, because if I want to reach them, I got to act like what they do. And that they take that whole thing out of context. Because this is a follow-up to that. In other words, he's telling them he was talking about that. And then he went into this part of it because of how we have to walk in life and what we do. In us, okay? Apostle Paul went in the 9th chapter, verse 24, he says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize. So in other words, Paul's talking about here competition-wise. See, back in Paul's day, everybody didn't get a trophy. Do you know what? People don't realize how dangerous, how bad that's been. They think that's being cute. I want my child to be happy. I don't want him to think that he wasn't good. So he has to get a trophy like the guys who do good at it or something. They don't realize how dangerous that is. Because I've watched this over the years as this comes in, because it builds weak Christians. This is why Christianity is in its mess today. Because everybody, it's all the feel good. I get the prize whether I compete or not. I don't have to do that. Because Paul's going to talk about this, about how you have to compete. This is how you have to do it. He said, but one receives the prize. He said, run in such a way that you may obtain the prize. You know, the person goes out there practicing running all the time, the kid that don't practice, and it wouldn't surprise me the guy that practiced all the time would win the race. And the one who didn't wouldn't win the race. So in other words, we're supposed to run in such a way, or we're have to, in other words, do what you got to do to win the race. We're in this thing to win the race, to be the first guy to cross the finish line. We're supposed to run like a winner. Understand this. This is why so many people never develop. You know, when Mike was, you know, teaching about the four different types of soil. That's what you got 75% of the people aren't in competition like they should be. They don't get over to that quarter, 25% who actually get to taste the fruit of this thing. Because they don't really ever get in the race. The people that with a good heart, those are the ones that turn around and run the race like they're supposed to. That's where you want to be. They're the prize winners. They get fruit. They get reward. And that's why I tell people, you know, I've been knocked over the years because I say, I'm in this for the reward. Oh, you're one of those. What are you in it for? If you're not in it for the reward, I'd like to know what on earth you're in this thing for. What is it? Most people are in it for fire insurance. They want to go to hell and that's it. Other than that. But yet, they look and despise the people who win. They look at the people who are doing well and they want what they have. You know, it's like young people today who I've read article after article about psychologists say, you know, young people, a big problem they have. They want to have in their life, when they graduate from college, they want what their parents have worked a lifetime for. They believe they should have the same. See, they haven't run a race. They've been training but have never been in the race. This is one of the great problems that we have. See, I was in a race from the time I was young. My parents were teaching us how to live. They weren't. They were being taken care of all the time. And now they got to get into the race. And it's like, well, this is a hard, terrible thing. But they want what the people have run a lifetime for, which have been training and running and doing the whole thing. They've been in competition all the time. And they want that. Well, see, folks, that's demonic. That's demonic to think that I should have what somebody else competed for. That's demonic. That's evil. And we don't see it that way. You know, it's like people look, well, I ought to be able to drive a car and live in a house like the guy that runs a company. No, you shouldn't. You didn't work and did what he did to get there. No, you shouldn't. You know, and getting that out of our systems. Now, Paul goes on to say, and everybody who competes for the prize. Now, listen, he didn't say everybody that runs. Did you notice that? He said everybody who competes for the prize. Oh, loads of people ain't competing for the prize. Just because they're running don't mean they're competing for the prize. People, what does he say? A person who competes for the prize is what? Temperate. In all things. Temperate in everything. Well, we know this. You know, you've all seen already how they, like say people who train for, like say Olympics or whatever field that they're in the Olympics, how they train. I mean, they spend so much, about their eating, sleeping habits, everything. They're doing all this on the times that they train, what they do to train. It's all this thing of setting around this focus completely to winning. That's what it is. It's set to winning. So Paul's using the natural side to tell us about this race that we're running in, what you're going to have to do. And so he said, to win the prize, you're temperate in everything. So understand, temperate or, or we should say have moderation. There's a moderation. Well, we don't have that today. Today is everything's into extremes. Everything we have today is into extremes, and it's done into extremes. Everything's done. Anything that should be done a lot, lots of times is not. All things. Now, why do they set this temperate lifestyle? Now, these are the people that really want to win, not the people who are just out there running. You know, it's just like they run these marathons. Oh, man, you get all these people out there running. You know, there's many of the people that are not into competition to win. That ain't why they went in. They want to run a marathon. And they know that they're not. They haven't trained like the person that they know that goes out here, these winner guys. Look at these people that win, these men and women that run in these things. I mean, what they do to win these things. Well, most of the people out there aren't there to win. But I'm going to tell you what, the people who are out there to win, they're all practicing the same stuff. They're all doing the same things. If they're not, they're probably not going to be winning. What these people do to win. So these are the ones that are out there that are in competition to win things. The other ones, this is just a thing that they've set a goal in life to do, and they're out there running, and they'll go out and run in them. But they know, you know, that they're not going to be up there. They're not going to be getting the trophy going in. They know that going into the thing. But they set themselves a goal because why? It's not their life to run that. They might have another part of their life where they're winning in, and this is just a thing that they do over here on the side. But they might have other areas of their life they're really focused in, and that's what they want. They want to win in. They're not trying to win the marathons. But these guys over here that are trying to win this thing. Now, Paul said this about they do it, what? To obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. We're shooting for a crown. Now, we have to look at what Paul said back there. Those who run in a race in verse 24, race, but only one receives the prize. In other words, and then he said, run in such a way that you may obtain it. We're supposed to, in other words, we're after an imperishable crown, but we're supposed to be running like we want to win this thing. This is what we do. And the way we do it is by being temperate. Being temperate in all things. So we know about this. I remember Keith Moore teaching about these things, and I was thinking about it. I think everybody, I'll guarantee it wasn't a person in the class, good things didn't come to their mind saying, yeah, you know, I need to get this straight now. If you don't have none of that, you're way ahead of Ed. So, but the whole thing of it is what we're doing, dealing with this, being temperate with all things. Because we're going to talk about over in the areas, and we'll talk about things with dealing with diet and all that kind of stuff. But like when you guys heard me say before, when the Lord spoke to me and told me, I asked him years ago about diet, and he said, heaven doesn't have any diets. Because I said, what are these Christians? They get all these diets and all this stuff. He said, heaven only has moderation in all things. Temperate in all things. He said, that's all we got. Well, see, and that's the truth. But now the church don't believe that. Most of the church world is trying to figure out things into diet and all kinds of things. How we bring things under control, how we do it. See, then what the thing he wants you to do is, I want you to set yourself up a structure. A law structure. And that law structure, don't eat, don't touch, don't taste. Don't this, don't that, don't this. Only have this, can't have that. See, what they do is it gets into an extreme, but it's not a winning extreme. Because, like, I, over the years, I have, you know, I sit and read these things, the studies they put out about people and diets. God, 95% of people never stay on a diet. They never keep on it. They don't ever go. Well, now, we have to have some kind of success. I learned this. Ed can't have success if I have to follow one of these diets. I will guarantee they don't work for me. I'm not just going to sorry. Ed's going to eat a piece of cake once in a while and going to have some of the pie. And if Guy tells me I ain't going to have that, I don't want to get into that because I don't want to get into this don't touch, don't taste. Because what happens, this does, people are not in faith. They're doing what they do by law and not by faith. And so, I have to learn to this, is being moderate. I don't eat the two pieces or three pieces of cake. Or I don't eat or cut one piece so large, it's like three pieces. Okay? So, but sometimes you're going to sit down and you're just going to eat dessert and you ain't going to eat the meal. You know, there's nothing wrong with doing that. If you learn moderation, we can do things. You just don't do that every meal you come down to. You don't do that kind of stuff. But what we have is this thing that is blown all out of proportion. And what it leaves people with is like, in these things that Paul said, you know, set your mind on things above where Christ sits at the right hand of God. He told the church at Colossae, he said, why do you guys do this? Is don't touch, don't take, like it's spiritual. Why do you do it? Most churches you go to today will teach you that these diets, they're more, you're more spiritual doing them. This is how you do it. Actually, it's not how you do it. And we're going to talk about this because it deals over the years of being temperate or moderate, how to do that, how to stay within that. Your human spirit will teach you and help you in this area of walking in these things, and these are the place we want to go. And Paul's talking about these things. Paul says this in verse 26, therefore I run thus, or this is how I run my race. Now he's talking from a spiritual standpoint, now because he says we are running for an imperishable crown, but we're running. He said, I'm not running with uncertainty. Thus I fight not as one who beats the air. In other words, sort of like a boxer. Paul was not shadow boxing in the race. You know, they may use shadow boxing to train, but when you get in the race, you get in the ring, you better be better than a shadow boxer, because there's going to be a shadow punching you back on the other side. It's going to be a little different in the race. You don't. But now, look what he said first. I don't do it with uncertainty. I know what I'm doing. I know what I got to do. In other words, the scripture tells us God said that his people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. So in other words, if I have a lack of knowledge and what to do, I'm going to have uncertainty in my race. So in other words, going into something, this is one of the great problems that people have in going into things. I know years past, I don't know if I've done much teaching lately at any time, but years past, I did some teaching on things on the areas of dealing with people with trying to overcome certain things, like say, whether it is in diet, whether smoking or stuff, or people get into habits, and Christians have habits of things that they want to overcome. And most people are focused on the habit, and that's why they never succeed. They're focused on the habit. They're not focused on the knowledge it takes to overcome. They're not focused on that. If you get focused, I've seen people do this, where, like healing, they become so focused on their sickness about healing that they never get healed. Because they're focused. They're not focused on the right things. They're not focused on the knowledge of God. Because what happens, you get focused right on the knowledge of God, then you're not struggling to try to overcome this thing. When Jesus said, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, you don't doubt in your heart, but believe that those things you say will come to pass, you're going to have what you say. Well, now, when you arrive to that point, the fight is now over from the standpoint, the thing belongs to you. The whole thing that your wrestle is this, is to hold on to what belongs to you, is not to let it go, to believe it belongs to you. See, most people are fighting trying to get it. This is like in the areas of losing weight. You got to believe you're losing weight before you get into the battle of losing weight. Because if you don't, you'll be always wondering if you're losing weight, always checking to see if you're losing. And what happens is, the scale and food become your whole thing. You're not in running a race. You don't see the finish line. You're always looking at whatever it is with the training and all that kind of stuff. That's gone. That's in the past. You're in the race now. We're in the race running. And this is hugely helpful for us in running, you know. Let's get ourselves over in the area, become realistic. Let's not use models of what we want to be by what the world is. You know, guys, Ed ain't going to look like that young guy that's 25 that's been working out with weights, you know, for, you know, 8 hours a day, 7 days a week. And Ed ain't going there because Ed ain't going to lift weights that much. Ed ain't going to be doing that. I'm not going to be doing that. You know, the young girls ain't going to be chasing Ed. If they would, it's because maybe if I had a lot of money in my wallet or something, then maybe they would do it. You know, they'll sometimes chase somebody that looks, we put one eye in the center of his head, if he's rich, they'll chase him. But if he drives and lives in the nicest house or the, you know, do all that stuff, but they ain't going to be chasing Ed. So I'm not, they're unreasonable goals for me. But yet, most Christians, their goals are unreasonable. They're trying to look like something they're not going to be. You know, everybody ain't, I don't care how you work some people out, they ain't going to ever have the shape that some of them other people got. It ain't going to happen. You know, somebody that we today call is beautiful, and you get somebody that's ugly, you can't get enough you can go through all the plastic surgery you want. You still ain't going to look good like that. You can do all this stuff. But see, people get unreasonable. Then you set yourself, you're running, you have goals that are uncertain. And you're destined to fail because your vision of what you're after isn't even practical. And, you know, the Bible talks about a woman, a submissive woman. He says, a quiet and beautiful spirit. The beauty that God talks is about somebody, you know, get it on the inside. We live in a world that is just messed up. People are all trying to be something they can't be because we've gotten out in the flesh area. So what happens? People live under bondages they never have to live under. And, you know, what happens is we get older, we should get smarter. And thank God I got a little smarter. I get older. There's things that I realize goal-wise that my thoughts about things were stupid. You get older and you find, you know, it's things I don't even care about no more. More realistic about things. And that there comes with age and time. There's things that come with age and time. And you're just going to have to get over there. And as you grow, you find it out. You know, just this is the way it is. But Paul's talking about, so this certainty. Thus he said, I fight. I'm not beating the air. Listen to what he says he does. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. I discipline my body. Why? Lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. The word disqualified means to be rejected or reject. So, not keeping our bodies under can cause us to become a Christian reject. Paul said he's doing this, but he wants to keep his body under. Keep his body under. And this is one of the things I've talked about before on dealing with the area of spirituality. We talked about growing up spiritually. That's one of the things that the Lord used for me to understand things spiritually, helping myself spiritually to be able to go out and run a long distance. He taught me how to bring my body under subjection so while I was running, my body wasn't dominating me. How I looked on the inside and was hooked on the inside rather than on the outside, my running. And when he started teaching me this, I started watching this and other people, when I watched other people talk about, they couldn't run. They say, well, I just can't run. I just can't do it. I get out of breath. I just can't do it. And all that. And I started to watch people and I started to realize what was going on. They're outward focused. And their body just dominates them when they run. They can't get their focus off the discomfort of their body when they run. And so the flesh keeps saying, I don't like this. And it's dominating. The flesh don't want to have to breathe or do anything. I don't know about your flesh. My flesh at times just don't want to. Don't want to do. You know, today we live in a society. You know, you wake up in the morning, you don't feel like going to work. You don't go to work. You know? I was raised by my mommy and daddy. It had nothing to do with how you felt about it. You were coming out of the bed. And you had things you had to do. That's what you were going to do. That was the way it was in life. But you know what? They taught us, in other words, you didn't go by what your body felt about. There's things in life that you needed to do. These are the things that Paul said Christians become rejects by not bringing their body under. Because you need to understand this. It requires discipline to grow up spiritually. You're going to have to do spiritual things and you're going to have to do things to be able to develop spiritually. You're going to have to. You're going to work at something in your life. You're going to put your time into something. Whatever you put your time in, that's what you're going to be good at. And if you don't put your time into spiritual things, you're not going to be good at spiritual things. There's no other way around it. I don't know any other way. In life, it's that way. You know, I never saw somebody become a doctor who didn't go to the schools and go through all that training and all those years and residencies and all that stuff and all that work they had to do to go through things to arrive at a point to accomplish a certain goal that it required in the time. And it's anybody, you know, you ain't going to have a guy ever be a good mechanic who ever hardly ever works on a car and who doesn't learn things about cars, doesn't do studying about them, doesn't keep up with all the new innovations in cars. You know, I'd never go to, there's loads of mechanics I'd never go to because they don't keep up on innovations on cars. You know, I go over and talk to my mechanic over here, his shop over here. I was talking to him about the new stuff coming out and that stuff. And I said, tell him about what's changing on cars. And he started telling me all these things, the new things that are coming out in cars, how they're changing, what you have to do and fixing them and stuff. Well, he's staying on top of all of his stuff. So He don't just work there during the day on cars. This guy goes and spends time reading about cars. Why? He wants to be good at what he does. That's why people go in there and bring BMWs to him. They bring top, you know, Mercedes over there to him to work on. They'll bring those cars in. He keeps on top of things and knowing what's going on. He does that stuff. And so keeping on top of technology, well, sure, he wants to be good in a field. Well, spiritually, it doesn't change. It's the same way. So, you know, if we don't learn in an inward submission, if we don't learn this to submit to in our spirits, in other words, get spiritual development, learn to do that stuff, we'll never be able to submit in our marriages, jobs, any other kind of things, leaders or whatever it is. It all comes from internal submission on the inside, submitting internally. So we as Christians, if we want to, Paul was talking about, he used the outer things to tell us of training for a prize naturally. If we want to succeed spiritually for the crown, in other words, we want the reward God has for us, we're going to have to do some things to do it. And we found out that no matter what it is, it's going to be a matter of moderation. We're going to have to figure out what we should be doing. There's a moderation in all things. And a lot of people don't figure this. They think I saw people get over in the areas of spirituality, they get lopsided into that. Where in the natural side, they're not doing things they should be doing. They get so called spiritual over here that they don't really deal with things. There's a balance, temperate in all things. You know, I found this, the more I get temperate in all things, the happier my life gets. It's the lopsidedness that throws things off. That throws things off. So I don't get as, it doesn't, as discomfort me with dealing with things that maybe I don't like to do as much. But I don't get discomfort at it because I don't get so extreme over in this side. I always trying to figure out how to get out of that side. That's a lot of people doing. You know, we don't, you know, it's like a guy, I don't care how good of a worker you are, you know, and you go to work every day and everything else, you come home and don't take care of nothing. You know, I can get so spiritual with God that I don't take care of anything. I learned things about Wanda, things I got to take care of, or I'm going to have an unhappy marriage. I might have an unhappy lady. You know, if I won't fix things in the house and something needs fixed and I don't ever take care of it, I tell you what, I got to submit myself whether I feel like it or not. There's things I must submit to do. And I don't blame her for that because there's things that I like too. And so, but both sides, but there's an area of submission. But then I shouldn't take my life of always trying to get her everything she wants. That would get out of balance. And then not taking care of spiritual things over here that I need to. So there's a balance to all of this. And you do get happier when you have a better balance on the things. People are usually trying to find pleasure through the extremes of things. That never leads to pleasure. That leads to frustration. Because every time you have to do something that's not on your pleasurable side, which you really like, it really frustrates you. And you got to find that out. If you don't come to that, you have to learn, oh, I need to do this. This is for my good. When you realize that things are for your good, you know. You know what? I'm not crazy about mowing the lawn, but it's for my good to go out and do that. But you know what? It is for a good for us, number one. Wanda's going to be a lot happier if I go out and mow the yard. I didn't marry a Mennonite girl. She don't go out and mow it. I should have. I should have done that. No, I shouldn't. I don't want to marry her. I don't want a Mennonite girl. Yeah, so you find a Mennonite girl. She'll mow the yard, take care of the garden, the whole thing. You won't have to do that. But you'll have to go to a Mennonite church. That's good stuff anyhow, isn't it? I'll tell you. It makes us laugh anyhow. Hallelujah. That's right, being temperate in all things. We can have a laugh now and then. That'd do us good. We don't have to. And I'm not, I appreciate a lot of things about the Mennonite people. I appreciate about their discipline in life. I appreciate. And but you always get about that is the Mennonite, when you see them out there, they're mowing the yards, they take care of the gardens. I don't know how they do it. Take care of them kids, take care of the gardens, mow the yards, and still cook all the meat and do the wash. Clean the house. The whole night. Say, my God. You're marrying two of them. Dear Lord, you probably never have to go to work. Hallelujah. Maybe that's why those Mormons want to marry more than one woman. You know? They just take care of it all, you know. Hallelujah. Anyhow. Now listen what the Apostle Paul, and you've heard this scripture many times, the fifth chapter, the Apostle Paul said this. The Apostle Paul made this statement, verse 16, Galatians 5. Paul said, I say this, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In other words, when it comes to the flesh, you will be temperate. That's what you'll be if you walk in the Spirit. And really, I see this as my entire Christian walk has been over to more and more toward a walk of the Spirit, because then I could learn to become more temperate in other things. I could learn to be, and I started to see, and you're like, the payoff. When you learn more about walking in the Spirit, you become more temperate in those areas of dealing with the flesh, of doing. See, you get people in too. See, this is one of the things that what we call the holiness people. Different groups have what they call holiness and stuff. What they do, and really, it's not everything they do is bad. But what they do is they try to do through the outward, you know, you can't wear makeup, you can't do this. It's number one, I want to tell you what, and I'm just going to be honest with you. And it isn't, you know, but you get people who aren't, like say women, who aren't temperate concerning makeup. Now, they have their side of it, say, we can't do it at all. So, in other words, what they say, they're not temperate. They go over on the side of, you can't do it at all. And the other side says, you do whatever you want, you're all right. I'm sorry, that's not good either. There's Christian women that look like whores and prostitutes. I'm just sorry. They look terrible. And they even the world makes fun of them. Well, that's stupid. Why? Because they're not temperate. It's moderation in all things. You know? And just like a man. It should always be moderation in all things. What we do. You know, ain't matter if they're doing things to make yourself look nice. There's nothing wrong with it. But be moderate. Don't get stupid. Don't become like the world is, of having to do it like the world does it, trying to be, you know, put on a face. My words. You know, do you ever see these pictures they'll show every once in a while, like online, they show one of these stars, you know, and then they show what they look like without makeup. And you look at them and say, dear God, I'd never recognize them as being a human being, some of them. God, you know, just like, my God, you'd wake up in the morning, that'd scare you. But, you know, I have, you know, some people go in the street. So you got the extremes over here of people, that they're not walking in the Spirit. It says fulfilling the lust of the flesh. See, when you could go over where the natural inclination to look nice, which is nothing wrong with. You know, you could get going to heaven and people walk around looking like bums. That ain't going to happen in heaven. You get up to heaven, everybody's going to be looking good. But you know what? It's not going to be an extreme from the standpoint as we think of extremes of beauty. It's not what it's going to be like we think in our minds. It's nobody's going to look different, all going to look the same, and we're going to be this certain modeled picture after something or other. I don't know. But anyhow, we get to heaven. But getting over this area is moderation. Why? You don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, because what happens is people like go along and then they get a wrong image of themselves about how they take care of themselves. It's like today, people really, the lust of their flesh is to look like everybody else. Everybody's always saying they want to be their own person. Well, you tell me that with all these tattoos out of here today. Everybody wants to be like everybody else and get their tattoo. It doesn't mean I want to be myself. That's the biggest lie that they tell about themselves. And what happens with them? They're never moderate about it. You get, oh, I just want one. Yeah, see how many of them only ever have one. Once they get their one, then they want two, because then all the other idiots got two and five and ten, and now they're doing it. And you go out here, and in my words, you go out here, look at a picture of a girl in a wedding dress today, and make you puke. She's standing there with dress showing all kinds of stuff, and there's all these tattoos down her arms and all that kind of stuff. And I'm thinking, you, buddy, you marrying that? You waking up in the morning with Hell's Angels? I mean, dear God, this is beauty? Okay. See, there's an extreme there. You just like people, extreme. They can't have one tattoo. You just got to keep doing it and doing it. Doing it and doing it. Doing it and doing it. Because, you know, everybody else is doing it, and I found another one I like, you know. So I'm doing it. And so everybody's out here doing all this crazy stuff. Everybody's shooting for the same things. Where are we at here on this? 19? Okay. All right. But see, everybody, you know, is running along in life trying to have what everybody else is doing, like clothing, whatever the style changes, you know. Then we have to have that style. There's nothing matter with a certain style coming out. You see one, you like it. But if you can't live without that thing and you have to have it, just follow the styles of everybody else all the time, that becomes a lust of the flesh. That becomes, you have to really watch yourself on things. Just because everybody else is having it and doing it. Because we always have to deal with our motor. Why am I doing this? What's this all about? Am I trying to do all this, trying to keep happy and keep, you know, I want to fit in and stuff, and it's like that. You can't ever be happy like that. You'll never be happy like that. You know. It gets weird. I mean, there's nothing matter. And I think people ought to look good. I think people ought to dress well. And I think people, we ought to do that. And I have nothing against, you know, like women wearing makeup and stuff. Brother Hagin used to always use the thing. He said, you know, every old barn needs some paint. So he said. He used to criticize like some of the holiness. He said the men used to, he said he knew men who were preachers. He said in those days they called them, you know, looked like he just stepped out of the man box, you know, and said they dressed up to the teeth, nice suits and everything off. And he said their wives come out and he said their wives, you know, their hair all pulled back in their head, no makeup and nothing. And he says, you know, the wives look bad and they're sitting out there looking like, you know, $1 million. And he used to criticize that stuff about him, and it's that kind of thing. And like, you know, they used to say the things that women couldn't wear pants. So he asked a preacher one time, because his wife would wear slacks. And he'd say, he said, she's wearing men's clothes. And he asked him a question. He said, would you wear the slacks that she has on? He said, no. He said, that's right, you wouldn't, because it ain't men's clothes. You'd never wear them. You wouldn't put them on. All these knuckleheads that do that, well, then them wearing their pants would be wrong because they'd have to dress like Jesus. We'd all be wearing robes and stuff and things. We wouldn't be wearing none of that stuff. You see, it gets in, this craziness goes on out here. It's moderation in all things. And just, those are the places. So we're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. He said, what? Because this is what happens, verse 17. Here's what we're dealing with. Paul's brought this out well. He said, the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another so that you do not do the things that you wish. There's, in other words, the war that you and I deal with, or what we are, is our flesh and our spirit. Our spirit wants to do one thing and our flesh wants to do another. So these are contrary to each other. They're contrary. The spirit wants to go one way, the flesh wants to go another way. So if your flesh is like my flesh, it's like, if it feels good, let's do it. Eat the dish too, you know, it got icing on it, might as well eat it. That's right. Why are they putting grooves in this plate? I can't get it all out. That's why I want to always put cakes on flat plates. Number one, grooves. But you know, so the flesh, so this is the battle that we're dealing with, and if we understand that. But now understand, because Paul did write about the moderation in all things. So a person could actually get weird over in the area of spirituality if they wouldn't be moderate in some times. Like the Brother Hagin used to say about a person being so spiritual that they're no earthly good. And I know what he's talking about. He wasn't talking about too much spirituality. Today we're on the opposite side of people get too fleshly or no spiritually good. And but why? Because there's a moderation. And what we want to do is make sure we develop our spirits right. If we can put the wrong things in our spirit, you know. See, people get over in extremes on spiritual things is because they get over into weird things and weird beliefs. And they get into weird stuff. They don't get the truth into them. It doesn't lead it into moderation. You know, when Jesus, people went out and followed him in teaching, he saw that people were hungry and needed to eat. And so he took the fishes and the bread and he fed the people. He didn't go, well, they don't need nothing to eat. They just need to, they need to suffer. Let them fast for a couple more days. He understood the needs of people. Jesus was moved because of people healing. He never told somebody they need to suffer a little bit longer to learn something. As soon as he could get them healed, he got them healed. You know, as soon as you can get healed. Don't sit around to learn anything other than learn how to get healed. You know, do those things. But Jesus and his operation in these things, and this is what we want to do, but there's a contrariness that's operating within us. And that's the thing that we deal with all the time. And understand that. We're in this fight. So saints must be taught to deal with the problems they have with their flesh. We as saints have to come to the place where the problems that we have to deal with our flesh, we need to deal with. Many times we don't because of frustration, because we tried to deal with them and it didn't work. You know, that's where I was doing. I went through the things of doing diet stuff till I finally come to place. And one day I said, I ain't going to ever go on a diet again. I don't care. I'm fed up with this stuff. Didn't realize that was one of the smartest moves ever made in my life. Because what I was doing, I kept trying to deal with it. There was nothing the matter with coming to a moderation about things and about controlling myself and some stuff. But the point of what they were trying to do, I was trying to do it through the flesh, just doing don't touch, don't taste, don't doing this stuff. And it never worked for me. I would do it for a while and I got sick of it. You know, then I'd eat the bacon sandwich. That's what I did this morning. I had a bacon sandwich. It was good. But I don't eat bacon sandwiches every morning. I don't. But this morning I thought, you know, I haven't had one for a while. I'm going to do that today. You know? And I didn't sin doing it. Because I don't get up every morning and eat a bacon sandwich. I usually have ice cream. No. I better, because they will listen to this tape. I'm going to tell them. No. I'm just kidding. Did you hear that, Pastor Ed said he was... Somebody will hear that excerpt out of there and didn't hear nothing else. Oh, okay. Anyhow, it's good teaching. But, you know, so we have things dealing with our flesh that we have to deal with and things that we need to do. You know, it's just like I learned in the areas of eating. You know, if I want to go out someplace and eat some kind of big dinner and I know I'm going to do it, well, I just don't eat. I might get up in the morning and I drink some of my juice and my V8 juice and that stuff and things, coffee, and like during the day I might just eat a light little something in between there. Well, I'm like, oh, I'm going to put some child away tonight. I'm going to go out to a dinner and I want to enjoy some things. I'm going to have some dessert. I'm going to have some stuff, and so I don't want to pig out. So, but I do want to enjoy that. I would like to go do that. And so just learning how to be temperate, you know, so I don't eat 3 B's a day. And learning to do that. And live a life, or in my words, you can actually live a life. Not trying to keep everybody else happy. Oh my God, that's an impossibility. I want you to know that. You know, you can't even try to live a life to be married, keep your mate happy all the time. You can't do it. It's an impossibility. I can't keep Wanda happy all the time. She can't keep me happy. That ain't her job. Her job ain't trying to keep me happy. If it is, my God, I need to get saved. It's not trying to keep Ed happy or me trying to keep her happy all the time. See, some people, they're trying to live they're trying to live the impossible. They're trying to live what don't even make sense to live. And so you get over and you get weird and things. So I want to stay with that. So most of the time, you know, people don't need the devil cast out of them by the problems that they have, especially dealing with the flesh. Now, sometimes people have a demonic problem, but that's not every time. If some people would just start to practice what's right, they wouldn't have near as much devil problems if they would just start to practice what's right. Just start to do with doing the right things. So we want to do that. But one of the things we need to understand is if we do yield to the flesh, what happens is yielding the flesh, you get over into the things of dealing with, you might have to deal with demons. See, you know, it's like one of the things, when I started, like I say, as an alcoholic, and I started drinking, I wasn't an alcoholic. But my abusing alcohol opened up the door to the devil. Well, after a while, I had a problem with alcohol. And my problem with alcohol was demonic. I had opened the door to demonic powers. You won't find a true alcoholic who doesn't have a demon problem. That's why when people like Alcoholics Anonymous and self don't work from the standpoint of keep, because people spend their whole life trying to stay away from something. Why? They're driven. It's not natural just lust of the flesh. It started out natural lust of the flesh, but now something else got a hold on them. And see, that's the way I was. When I got born again, that power was broken over me. That power was broken. And so I wasn't driven anymore. I could, as a sinner, I could never see myself without drinking. I used to think about it. Say, you know, I used to know I needed to quit drinking. But I thought, that's stupid. I know, I just couldn't have. I could stay away from it, you know. It's amazing. I'd go to work and I wouldn't drink, but I'd get out of work. As soon as I got out of work, man, I had a drink. Man, I had a drink. And I would stop on the way home, and I would go buy a six-pack of beer on the way home. And I would come out of that place, and every day I'd stop at the same place. I'd open a can of beer in the parking lot and chug one down, just chug it before I got in the car. I'd just chug that thing down. Until I got home, which is about 5 miles away, I had drank two more beers. Now, I had beer at home. I had stuff at home, awaiting. And I'd go home, and I'd drink those three beers and drink some other beers. And before I went to bed. I didn't drink at work, though. I never took booze to work. I didn't drink at work. I didn't do that. I didn't drink at work. Stayed away from that. But, boy, I was ready to drink when I left. I was ready to drink. Turn me loose. But, you know, it's what we're doing. And I was dealing with a demonic problem. I'd opened the door to that. And I realized that after I got born again, I realized that I had a demon operating in that area. And then I heard Kenneth Hagin's teaching on it. Kenneth Hagin talked about it. People in there with alcoholism, drug addiction, and all that kind of stuff, they open up doors to demonic powers, and they aren't dealing with just a fleshly problem. You're dealing with a demonic problem. But there's one thing is you're going to have people that need to be set free and taught right about it free. See, I was fortunate because I was taught by Kenneth Hagin and things that I read of his before I got saved that I expected to be delivered when I got saved. See, most people aren't taught that. They're taught that you get saved, God forgives you your sin. Now you got to work everything else out in life. Well, it's different than that. And anyhow, so we need to understand that our flesh will do anything we allow it to do. Our flesh will. We allow it to do it. It wants to do things. So, and our minds will think any thought that we'll allow it to just go ahead and stay on and think. So it's learning to train ourselves. We're going to have to do that. Is learn to train ourselves, train our flesh and train our mind. The tighter rein we keep on our flesh is the better, the tighter rein. And that doesn't, understand me, I'm not talking about just being an extreme, but the tighter rein we keep ourselves in a balance of things where we stay in the areas of temper, the tighter rein we keep on that, the better off or happier you're going to be in life. Keith Moore said this, and he's correct, it's easier to keep your flesh under than try to bring it under. Once it's out of control, it is harder to get it back. Did you ever notice this about a Christian? A Christian who got free from, say, alcohol and went back and became an alcoholic again will go through a very difficult time trying to bring themselves back under again. It won't be like it was the first time around. Once they let it out of control, it's harder to bring it back. It always is for people. I watch people do things. If they got it under control for a while and they let it go back, it's always seems to be a worse thing. Always a worse thing. See, that's one of the things I learned with people on diets. They're always trying to get on a diet, and then they fail on the diet. And after they live the diet, they say they gain more weight back than what they had before. How many people do that? You see, it's always you're, and this is why it's handling things out wrong, not knowing. And lots of people, the whole thing of it is, they could get it under control, but they're always trying to bring everything under control through the flesh. They were never dealing spiritually to begin with. And so it always ends up a mess. And it's everything in life, whether they're trying to quit smoking or quitting, they're always trying to deal with it through the natural. I just close telling you, as a sinner, and this is why this stuff, even dealing with your own human spirit as a sinner, even works. Kenneth Hagin talked about in the vision Jesus gave him dealing with demons. And that vision, I think it was 1950, he had that vision, and it was in December 1950, the Lord showed him about demons and how they operate. I think it was back that around that time, somewhere between 48 and 50, he had the vision. But anyhow, the Lord showed him was a sinner who ended up being obsessed in his mind with a way of thinking, and the Lord explained to him that sinner didn't have to go and let the devil obsess him and take over his thinking. He could have resisted it. And I often think about this because I was born again in January 1980. But back in the beginning of 1976, I quit smoking. Now, I was a smoker. I had smoked since I'd been in my teens. And I had smoked and all through the military and stuff like that. I was a I was a minimum two packer a day, you know, smoking at least two packs a day. And these were back in the days that we look today and say it's cheap. But even when you go back to 1976, what happened one day is I'm in recess. Now, I had gone through this a number of times in my walk as a human in the earth. I had tried to quit smoking. And I would be very successful up to maybe a couple of weeks, and maybe sometimes, or maybe up to a couple of weeks where I didn't smoke. But I'd go right back to it. I just never. And I didn't realize till after I got saved and I started understanding the principles of things, how they work, is why I was able to quit. Because when I quit smoking, I didn't struggle like I did before, just trying to keep away from it for 2 weeks. But I didn't ever realize that I had put a spiritual principle into work, that something happened out of my inner man. I didn't realize it till afterwards. If somebody asked me, how did you do that? I could tell people, I didn't know. I just did it. Now, and what happened was cigarettes kept climbing in price, you know, back then. You know, I remember I used to go pay like 25 cents a pack on the machine, and it went to, you know, 30 cents and 35 cents, and you'd pay 45 cents and that stuff. I'll never forget. I sit in Reese's. Cigarettes were something like 50 cents a pack out of the machine. You know, that's what they were. And I worked at Reese's, and I needed cigarettes. I went over the machine, and the machine, there's 60 cents a pack. Made me so mad. 60 cents. But you understand, like people today talk about what you paid for cigarettes, but really, 60 cents a day back then, when I first started working at Reese's, I was making a little over $3 an hour. So 60 cents was a lot of money, you know, out of your cut and pay because of what other things cost, you know, and that kind of stuff, and 60 cents. And I remember I did this. But there was I just said this. When I saw that, I'll never forget. I walked down, set down the table. I didn't buy the cigarettes. I didn't buy them. I set down the table with the other guys, and I said to them, I'll never smoke another cigarette again. I said, I ain't paying no 60 cents for a pack of cigarettes. I didn't realize what happened, what took place there. What took place there, I didn't say that out of my mind. See, what I had never even spoken the right things before. I was always trying to quit smoking. I was always trying to do it. So I was always telling, yeah, I'm trying to quit. I'm not saying I'm trying to quit. You know what? Never worked. It never worked. I couldn't get it. And the most thing that amazed me was that day, there was something rose out of me and I didn't realize it. I knew at the time it happened, something was weird. I said, I'm not going to, I was absolutely adamant and mad about it. And you know what? I can never remember where I had this thing, I really wanted to get a cigarette. I'd sit down and work with the guys, they'd smoke at the table. And you know what? It'd make me more mad than anything. I ain't going to smoke none of them. And I was sitting there saying, oh, I'm trying to stay away from a cigarette. It didn't. It went on in time, and I could not believe I had, from that day, I had never smoked a cigarette again. Never have smoked a cigarette again since that day. I wasn't saved. See, I didn't realize that principle. I could have probably gotten myself off of booze if I'd understood how this thing worked. But when Kenneth Hagin began to teach how it works spiritually, all of a sudden I realized, and God witnessed to me, you did that out of your inner man. You spoke those words out of the inside. Inside of you wanted to quit smoking, and you said those words, you were going to do it. He said, you set power in motion. See, sinners can set power in motion and do things with their spirits. They can set things in motion. And so, you know, when Jesus spoke to the disciples, he said, he didn't say, you're the only guys that can say to this mountain, be thou removed. He'd tell them that. He said, if you say something, you don't doubt in your heart. You see, that's why it goes back to the Tower of Babel. Those people were doing evil by what they're speaking. Now, they sure weren't following God. And he said, ain't nothing that they do won't be withheld from them. And I spoke that, and I put that thing into existence, and I'll tell you what, I completely quit smoking easily. It made me marvel. And I used to say, I wonder why all of a sudden I could quit. All those times I tried before, why all of a sudden? It just worked. What happened? You know, to me is, well, people say, you're lucky. Well, that's as far as we understood. And I thought, well, I must be lucky. I didn't know. But here I'd set a spiritual principle. And this is the, in other words, I was able to deal with something with my flesh that I had never been able to deal with before with my flesh. And I found out why. Actually, I stumbled onto it, didn't know it. There was something in the natural that happened with that raising that price triggered something in me spiritually that made me go off on the inside rather than the outside. Just the outside. And so I was able to bring that under, but I had never been able to do that before that time. And you know the most amazing thing? I quit smoking and I didn't gain a bunch of weight and go out of control weight wise. Amazing. Well, see, most people do that. What they happen is they're trying to quit. So in trying to quit, we become excessive in something else. By feeding ourselves. And I think people say, yeah, I just gained 50 pounds and quit smoking. Now I'm trying to lose weight. So now they go, see, the extremes just keep. They don't, you know, it's just this constant. And it's, how do I get a balance in this thing? And see, this is why it's not putting people under condemnation. That's the whole thing. Is people today are under condemnation. You can hardly preach the truth to them because they take it wrong. And the people start to think, oh, well, you know, if I'm overweight or I have this problem or that, then that becomes magnified in their life. It's not to magnify things. It's about teaching us how to overcome, to become moderate in these things, to get us past that stuff where we feel guilty all the time. We got to get past this stuff. If you don't, it don't work. I know. It's a fact. If you get me to do something because of guilt, I'll be back in the mess again. It don't work. That doesn't work. That isn't the way it works. It works through knowledge and understanding spiritual things and putting the spiritual forces in to work together with you with the direction you're held to help you develop and to help you to grow. And whatever you want to do and the things you want to accomplish. It's just like concerning money. The Lord said to me, well, you can go as far as you want to go. In other words, that's not just money. That's anything in your life. It depends how far I want to go and or what I want to do. But I understand this. There were spiritual principles that led me to the point that I was. So if I'm going to do something to go further, then I want to make sure that those spiritual principles are in operation because they'll help me get to there without me getting into any extremes. See, this is one thing. It's like you get over ministers that have gotten extremes in the areas of money and asking people for money and doing stuff. They've done that because they found a spiritual principle, but now they're trying to act it out through the natural. And so they start putting pressure on people. Instead of training people how to give and what it is for their blessing, they're always operating from their side, from their own lust to get more. Now, that isn't saying the guys who's then, so people take the example of the guy who turns around who's teaching it right. They think he's doing the same thing. No, he's not. If you don't understand and see what who's doing what and how they're teaching you about it. But there's a lot of them, it's one-sided. You know, you're going to be my partner, and our partnership is this. I own your wallet, and you send me your money. That's our partnership. You'll get blessed because you take care of me. And the only way you're ever going to get money is you have to just keep giving me more so you can get more. And see, that gets over in the wrong things. And what happens, these guys don't realize that they're operating in lust of the flesh. And they'll swear they're doing spiritual principles. No, they're not. They're over in the areas of extreme. You never saw Jesus treat people like that about money. You see Jesus do that with people money? He didn't. In fact, they had enough money, they had to have a treasurer. People ain't got no money, ain't got treasurers. People ain't got no money, don't even have banks. You know, you go through 11, there's people, loads of people don't have bank accounts. They don't have no bank accounts. They can't. They ain't got enough money to have a bank account. So they go to Walmart. When they get a check, they got to go to Walmart and pay to have it cashed because they ain't got a bank to cash a check in. So something's messed up out here, folks. But not getting in these streams. And so using those. And we'll be talking about that stuff some more. Because this is one of the things that when Keith Moore taught on this in Rhema, was to me a huge help for me to understand things about this area of getting over into these things, of staying away from the extremes of things, yet keeping a right balance because you want to be spiritual and develop. Yet we do have bodies and live in this world, and we don't want our bodies going around suffering all the time. And if I'm always neglecting myself, then that's somehow spiritual, you know. If you don't buy such nice clothes, and if you don't do so, that there's really a sign of some kind of spirituality. No, it isn't. That's a sign of being intemperate, you know. It's like Randy Greer says, you know, he said the Christians should be the most intelligent people in the earth today. Well, that hasn't been the case, has it? because when this stuff all gets out of lopsided of what we're trying to do, so what we call spirituality and being spiritual is living that life where I know the needs of my flesh and what I have to have, and what I need and I need to do, the natural things, and what spiritual things I need to do so I can maintain stuff in the natural without getting into excess. How can I live a happy life without having to get in excess? See, we have people today have an excess, you know. They go out here and they get in a plane and learn how to parachute out of a plane. Then they just get into skydiving. And the next thing you know, they're crawling up buildings. And they got to get more extreme and more extreme. And they got to do this. They're trying to keep happy. These people aren't. They have no thrill in life unless they're trying to find out if they are alive. They don't know what being alive is. And then one of them turns around and jumps in and dies. And then they get their name and their picture in the paper. Oh, this guy here did all these things and now he's dead. Well, he'd been trying to kill himself for how long? What does it surprise you that he died? Well, they don't tell him, you know, this guy's an idiot. He went too far. They don't say that on the thing, but they should. They should say, you know what? Poor guy got so messed up, he went out and kept doing this till he killed himself. And now he's gone. See, and he left this earth. I wonder how he feels about it on the other side. They don't do that. But really what it is, there's a real problem. Those people are into excess. They're not temperate, are they? To me, I think it'd be fun to go up and plane jump out, you know, parachute down. I don't want to crawl up nobody's building in town and jump. I have no intent of doing that. But I'm not going to get into excess where I have to just go out and jump out of planes all the time. You know, that'd be fun to do, but we ain't going to just have to do that all the time. You know, I ain't going to bungee off of bridges all the time. I ain't going to do, it might be fun to try that out sometime and get the thrill of, oh my God, I'm going to hit head first down below here. Just that might be fun. You know, I don't know. It might just teach you, I never want to do that again. But you know what? You do it often enough and you do it successful. And you've done it for your, you look to that as your pleasure. After a while, that you can't get pleasure. I got to go to another extreme because that's not enough for me anymore. It's no different drug. You take some and you get high. But after a while, you got to take more and more to get high. There's an immunity that you build. And psychologically, people build immunities. And they have to do more extreme and more extreme and get more extreme. And they got to keep doing this stuff. And you got to, because see, what's, it's not temperate. The joy, see, and God doesn't want us living that way. God doesn't want you to live all the time when your whole day's thought about the food you're eating or the clothes you're wearing. Or, you know, there ain't no joy in life in none of that. Ain't no joy. Hallelujah. Praise God. God said something better for us. And we want to walk in. So let's close in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your kindness to us through Jesus Christ. Thank you so much, Lord God. Lord, we desire your wisdom, and this is why I'm teaching these things. Lord, we do want to teach them in a manner that helps people who listen to these things. And not, Lord, we don't want to put nobody in no more bondage. Lord God, we know what it is, the bondage we put in. We want to develop spiritually, and we know true spiritual development leads us into an area of joy and peace in life and not into any kind of weirdness and stuff. And I want to thank you for that. Lord, I appreciate in my life, Lord God, that you had put Kenneth Hagin there. Lord God, he wasn't some extremist in life. Lord God, he lived a good life, dressed well, lived well, and did things, Lord God, in the natural, but yet was a very spiritual man. Lord God, was a great blessing to people. That's what we want to be. Lord, we don't want to be into something extreme. I know the world thinks we're extreme today because we don't want to live in extremes. So they think we're weird. Lord God, Lord, there's a place of joy and peace that you've led us to in life, and we want to walk and live that in every area of our lives. And we thank you that you're going to help us get there. And we thank you for it all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.